Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
But we do want to have a time of prayer and celebration, because it's one thing to pray. Now listen, it's one thing to pray. It's another thing to believe. Okay? It's one thing to pray. It's another thing to believe. And it's still another thing to declare. And so I've watched people pray their hearts out, and I have too. Who's kidding who? And then they walk away, and if it doesn't happen in the first 5 minutes, I'm being silly, but if it doesn't happen in the first 5 minutes, they figure God isn't going to answer or God has said no. It's one thing to pray. It's another thing to believe. And it's another thing to declare by faith. What did Moses do at the Red Sea? He put his rod down. He made a declaration. And God split the sea open. What did Moses do at the rock? Here's an interesting story. And like I've said to you before, this is free. The next one is $5. But this one is free. When the children of Israel were in the desert, and they were complaining. This is something I can't get in my head, but I know I've done it, so God forgive me. God does something incredible for us, and then we start to complain. Anybody ever done that? I've told you this story, I'm sure, but I had a situation with my eye where I was just about rubbing the skin off. It was crying so bad, and it wouldn't stop, and saw the eye doctor, and I can't help you, Ann, here's some stuff. And Anton laid his hands on me and prayed, and the Lord healed me just like that. And I was studying for my degree. So what do I do a couple of weeks later? Oh, my gosh, I'm so tired of this class. There's so much work. Duh! Duh! God healed your eyes so you could study for your degree, turkey. Right? So many times we look for a miracle, and then we start to complain. In my case, it had happened, but sometimes it doesn't. And I was talking about Moses. They're out of Egypt. They're out of bondage. And then they start complaining. We have nothing to drink. The desert's hot. Well, I mean, it's a valid complaint. You know, if you're thirsty, you're thirsty. And God says to Moses, strike the rock. And he strikes the rock, and water starts to gush out, and the people drink. Okay, they've had their miracle. Wow. Wouldn't you like to go out, Miguel, and strike a rock this afternoon? See water come, right? Wouldn't that be fabulous? Well, they go on a little bit later, and again, they're thirsty. And God says to Moses, Moses, don't strike it. Speak to it. And Moses had just witnessed the miracle of the Red Sea. He'd witnessed the miracle of the water when he struck it. And the third time around, somehow, this precious man of God decided, speaking isn't enough. And he struck it again. And you see, when he struck it, that rock represented Jesus. And you only ever strike Jesus once. It was on the cross. And the Lord said to Moses, because you've done that, you, my friend, will not enter the promised land. How many of us don't enter the promised land of prayer because we give up too soon or we decide to do it our way? Boy, this is good. I should write this down. Come on now. How many of us don't enter the promised answers because we decide to do it our way and we give up too soon? It's one thing to say the words. It's another thing to believe. It's another thing to declare, which is what we're going to do this week. And then anticipate God's answers. Amen? Amen. So tonight we're going to have a rock and roll prayer service for an hour. Now, we're not going to be hanging off the chandeliers. We're not going to do anything stupid. But we're not going to be sitting in our chair going, psh, 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 psh. I'm sorry, I hate those prayer meetings. I remember as a kid suffering through those prayer meetings. And would you pray? Why? We're going to be standing, we're going to be praying in groups, we might be walking a little bit, and we're going to call heaven down for 1 hour tonight. Monique is going to lead us in a couple of songs, and then we're going to get to work, all right? And we're going to anticipate that God is going to hear and answer our prayer. And at breakfast next week, we're going to have a good time. First of all, we're going to eat. How many of you know that Pentecostals need to eat? It's a Pentecostal thing you have to do. Pentecostals eat. Pentecostals also have afternoon naps. Praise God. Now, when I was a little girl, and my father was a pastor, here's the deal. I had two brothers. I'm the only girl in between two boys. And so how many of you went home to either a roast beef or a roast chicken? Good Pentecostals. Come on. Come on. Come on. We kids had to wash the dishes, and then we had to have a sleep because my parents had to have a sleep. I'm thinking there might have been a little more than sleep going on Sunday afternoons. But I'm just saying, Pentecostals have to have their afternoon nap. So anyway, let's get into the word. I better stop now. I'm going to get myself in trouble. If Pastor Ken ever listens to me, I'm going to get fired. So, but let's get into the word this morning. Father, we just thank you. Well, Lord, I just thank you for Comox Pentecostal Church, and thank you for the fun that we can have. Lord, I just believe in your presence there is joy. And Father, our circumstances can be not joyful, but somewhere deep inside, in your presence there is joy and the fullness of your spirit forevermore. And so I thank you for joy this morning. And now, Father, as we go into your word, I pray that you will minister life to these dear ones and that in turn they will take life to others. And we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're in week number 2 on the Holy Spirit. We are doing a series called Acts in Action. And in this series, the second thing is we are committed to welcoming the, who's my guy on the screen up there? There you go. Thanks, Chris. We are committed to welcoming the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We are committed. Committed is a huge word. What time is it? How long have I gone? Can you sit for an hour? I'm only kidding. But we are committed. Committed. Listen, if you're married, you are committed. If you have a job, you are committed. I hope. If you're raising kids, you are committed. And what we're saying as a church here at Comox Pentecostal is we are steadfastly, assuredly committed, no wavering, to welcoming the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, in word, it looks good, but we want to have more than word. We want to have action. We have a friend, in fact, he works for Youth for Christ in Nanaimo, and I have the joy of chairing that advisory committee in Nanaimo. And Francisco, we also call him Poncho. Poncho goes out on Wednesday nights in the streets of Nanaimo, and people get saved, and people get healed, and people get filled with the Holy Spirit, and families get transformed. Because Poncho just goes out and he just grabs them and gives them a, you know, homeless and that kind of, gives them a sandwich. Hey, man, have you met Jesus? No. Well, let me tell you about my life. And he tells them about his life. And before you know it, they're crying on the street and they're meeting Jesus. Poncho is committed to welcoming the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, he's also a very fine evangelist. I could go out and do that, and unless the Lord, you know, just anointed me, I'd say, do you want a sandwich? Do you want to talk about something? See, I'm a pastor. That's my gifting. Now, not to say I won't tell people about Jesus, but my gifting is that of a shepherd, of a pastor. But Poncho's gifting is really that of an evangelist. And I watch the reports of what Holy Spirit is doing in the streets of Nanaimo every week because he sends a report out on Monday mornings. See, he's welcoming and he's committed to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, what does it look like for us today as a body? We're not all ponchos, and that's good because I get a little tired of calling that name all the time. But what does it look like for us to be welcoming and committed to the Holy Spirit? Last week, we talked about who Holy Spirit is. Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's never going to make a fool out of you. Holy Spirit is welcoming. I want you in my presence. Holy Spirit is, he's all-seeing and all-knowing. Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. Holy Spirit is the giver of life. Holy Spirit is the gift from Jesus for us. And we're going to talk about that next week, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But this week, we're going to see what does Holy Spirit does. And Holy Spirit transforms lives just like that. I often say to our worship teams or people that I'm working with, listen, in worship or in the presence of God, God can do in 5 seconds what would take the rest of us 25 years to counsel through. Isn't that the truth? When Holy Spirit touches you, listen, I was up here preaching last Sunday, and Holy Spirit touched my heart, and I'll just keep it between he and I. He said, Ann, till the beginning of February, I want you to fast something. And I just said, okay, fine. And so I have been fasting what Holy Spirit asked me to fast last week, since last Sunday morning. And I just want you to do that for me. Fine, you got it. When I get to February 1st, he says, I want you to fast another month. Fine, whatever you want, you're in charge. Because he's in charge and he's transforming my life as he's transforming your life. So Holy Spirit is the great transformer. Isn't that true? And I want to show you how he does that this morning through a really special guy in the book of Acts. I love this guy. His name is Peter. I like to call him Pete. But let's go into Acts chapter 2, verse 1 before we start. Jesus had ascended into the heavens, but he had said this to his disciples. There was one going to ascend, excuse me. Acts 1 and 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, not like Superman, not like Spider-Man, not like all these wonderful, you know, you fly in, fix your situation, and fly away again. I don't think I'd appreciate Spider-Man in here, because if he's flying on his web thing, he'd leave an awful mess. Have you ever thought about the mess that Spider-Man leaves? Right? Zut, zut, zut. Would you stop it, man? Somebody has to clean all this when you're finished. Just walk, for goodness sakes. At least Superman flies and leaves again, and there's no mess to clean up after him. But it's not like that. It's a dunamis or dynamis power. And that, you know, you think of the word dynamite. And that word in the Greek, in that verse, you will receive power and ability and miracles. You will receive a mightiness. Is that a word? You will receive a boldness in the Greek, that dynamis or dunamis, however you want to spell it. There is an empowering when Holy Spirit comes upon you and dwells in you. And some of you say, you know, Anne, when I gave my heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came. Yes. In John, I believe it's John 14. If you love me and keep my commandments, my Father and I will come and make our home in you. Isn't that beautiful? If you love me and keep my commandments, the Father God, all of God comes and dwells in all of you. Paul says in Corinthians, don't you know? He says it twice. Once he says to us as the body of Christ, and once he says it to us as individuals. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? That's one of the things that keeps me trying to exercise and look after myself, because I often have to pray, Holy Spirit, I ate too many sweets tonight or something like that. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. I want my body to be in good shape for the Holy Ghost. All of God comes to you and dwells in all of you when you receive him in salvation. But we are talking now about the work and the power of Holy Spirit in you as he dwells in you. And he wants to transform you. And he wants to take you out of your... I'm not being sarcastic here, because really, when you look at it, all of us live in our own little world. Do you understand what I'm saying? When Anton and I were on that cruise a few weeks ago, at times we'd stand outside the boat and just look, and all you could see was ocean. Vast, vast, vast ocean. And yet when you look at a map, we were in one tiny little spot. Right? That is only the little bit of the vastness of the ocean that we could see. And as we're looking at it, we're realizing the vastness of God himself. See, and the vastness of Holy Spirit within you to give you that power, and that dunamis is resident within you today. And he's resident within you to transform your life and to transform my life. Oh, I was tired when I got up here, but I'm not anymore. Praise God. So we're going to look at Peter today. Peter had 3 encounters with Jesus. And then he arrived at Acts chapter 2, and he became a changed man. We're going to talk about the transforming power of the Holy Spirit through Peter. Peter went from being a fisherman to a fisher of men. First encounter Peter had was with Matthew 18, verse 20. And let's read it here, excuse me. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Now, Peter, I'm assuming, was self-employed. He had a fishing boat. He fished with his brother Andrew. He fished with others. We know from different stories there were a group of them fishing. He was a regular, everyday guy. He was out getting some work done. We know that he was married. He had a mother-in-law whom he must have loved because he took Jesus to her when she was sick and had her healed. You want to know the definition of mixed emotions? Oh, I shouldn't say it. I'll keep that to myself. I am a mother-in-law. My father used to say this, the definition of mixed emotions, watching your mother-in-law drive over a cliff in your brand new Cadillac. That's really bad. Dad, I hope you've apologized. But he loved his mother-in-law dearly. But Peter loved his mother-in-law, and Jesus healed her. We know that for a fact. He was not an educated man. He didn't have any status. But here he was out fishing, and he would have heard of this Jesus. He's a Jew. He would have been wondering about this Jesus. And suddenly, this Jesus shows up on the beach. How is it that you can pray for something for 40 years and suddenly God answers? Have you ever been there? You've prayed for 40 years and suddenly God answers. And Peter has heard about this Jesus, and suddenly this Jesus shows up on the beach, and he looks at Peter. He says, you, come and follow me. And Peter goes, okay. Can you imagine being there? First of all, what's he going to tell his wife? Honey, I quit my job. I'm going to be a vagabond with Jesus for 3 years and just wander the countryside. But it'll be okay. Don't worry about it. And if they had children, well, kids, I'll be back. Let me check my schedule. No. I don't think we'll be back for a couple of months. What's he going to say to his friends? What's he going to say to his family? He's just going to say simply this. Jesus said, come and follow me. The first encounter with Jesus that Peter had, he found out that Jesus had all authority. And when Jesus says, come and follow me, the answer is, I'm coming. See, when you came to Jesus in your salvation moment, in its essence, Jesus said, come, the banquet table is ready. Come and follow me. Come and dwell with me. Come and live with me. And you had something in your spirit, something deep inside that said, I'm coming. I want to be with you, Jesus. And you said, yes. At that moment, he received all authority in your life. I don't mind authority if it doesn't interrupt with my plans. And I think most of you are just like me. We are in a society that we, you know, if it suits number one, do it. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, do it. I'm a product of the 70s, you know, and that was the thing back then. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, go ahead, right? And so basically the essence of our society is you are the captain of your destiny. You're in control of your own life. But the minute we came to Jesus, he said, you're not in control, I am. And so Peter encountered this one who has all authority, and he came under his authority. Now, listen to me. He saw Jesus perform miracles, and his faith began to increase. One of my favorite who am I kidding? I love scripture. I say everything's my favorite, but it is. One of my favorite stories is Matthew 14, 25 to 32. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them. These are the disciples fishing in the night. Jesus was walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. It's a ghost, I'm terrified. And Jesus, in his authority, says, it's me. Sit down and shut up. Now, he said it much nicer than I did. But see, in your moments when there's panic, you need the authority of Jesus to come and say, it's me, sit down and be quiet. Right? And that's where prayer comes in. God in heaven, you have no idea what I'm going through. Well, get a grip. Yes, he does. God in heaven, it's stormy, the waves are God. And he's saying, peace, be still. You will keep him in perfect peace whose heart is stayed on you, says the prophet Isaiah. But Pete, being the guy he is, I love Peter. I want to have a long cup of coffee with Peter when I get to heaven. He reminds me a little bit of myself and many of you. Here's an idea. Okay, let's do it. Peter does first and engages his brain later. And so Jackie's going, that's me. But Jesus says, take courage, it's me, don't be afraid. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Are you kidding me? Get a grip, man. I've been in boats and water all my life. I love the water, but if it's stormy, I do not want to be walking in the waves. Come on. What does Jesus say? Come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they, Jesus and Peter, climbed into the boat, the wind calmed down. So Peter's first encounter with Jesus was one of discovering his authority. In the ancient Near East, says Professor James Shelton, the sea was the domain of chaos and destructive forces. Already in the Old Testament, the waters were viewed as dangerous and destructive, and God is the one who overcomes the waters and waves to preserve life. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. God is the one who does it. Your first encounter with Jesus at salvation, God comes and Holy Spirit begins to establish in you his full authority. Peter was an everyday guy. In fact, Peter would have been the kind of guy that was a fisherman. He probably fished out of Comox or Courtney. He might have attended Comox Pentecostal Church. He was a salt of the earth kind of guy, slap you on the back, how are you doing today kind of guy. Might have played guitar up here with Mo. Who knows? He was just that kind of a guy. But he had encountered the authority of Jesus. His second encounter is found in Matthew 16, verse 13 to 16. So he has seen Jesus calm the waves. He's seen Jesus heal his mother-in-law. In Matthew 16, verse 13, he had just witnessed a huge miracle. Jesus has healed all kinds of people. And out of two loaves and seven little fish, he had fed 4,000 men plus all the women and the children. So he had fed thousands out of this little boy's basket lunch. Peter had seen all kinds of miracles. He had established in his world the authority of Christ. And now he comes to a second encounter. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? It's a good question. He's been hanging out with the boys. I could say to you, who do people say Barb Mantha is? It's a good question. And you'd say, well, Barb attends CPC, Barb lives here, Barb lives here. So he's asking them a good question. But see, when Jesus asks a good question, well, he always does, I find it's more than just a question. I find it's a little bit of authority and revelation being established. Does Jesus ever ask you a question about yourself and you go, ugh? Years back in Oakville, Ontario, before we moved to British Columbia, I was sitting in the chair in our living room, and I was reading through the Old Testament. I don't remember the scripture I was reading, but I was reading about the Israelites, and once again, they had been so disobedient to the Lord, and I said, honestly, Lord, these guys, they were unbelievable, and as clear as a bell, I heard in my spirit, yep, takes one to know one. When God asks a question or when he makes a statement, he often has a reason for it. So the disciples say, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Now here we are, Peter's second encounter. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had encountered the Spirit's authority. Come and follow me, Jesus said. Now remember Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was water baptized, who descended on him like a dove? Exactly. And that was his baptism in the Holy Spirit. because Jesus, fully God, fully man for 33 years on the planet, needed the anointing and the power of Holy Spirit. If he needs the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? So Peter had found that Jesus had authority. Follow me, yes. And now he's finding out that Jesus truly is the Lord. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, good for you, dude. It's the Ann Donker's translation, by the way. You didn't figure this out on your own. The Spirit of God told you. See, Peter's being transformed. Peter's understanding that if I follow this one called Jesus, I'm not just following one who has authority. I'm following the Son of the living God. What does it mean to our lives to follow the Son of the living God? I was saved when I was 5 years old. I'm now 62. That's a long time. And I've told you before, it's as fresh now as it was then. But what does it mean to follow the Son of the living God? How many of us get into our days and our weeks and we just do them and we forget the incredible fact that we are filled with and we are following the Son of the living God? Oh, my goodness. Dr. Esther, I see you up there, and I so admire your profession and what you do. Folks, can we give every doctor and nurse and medical person a hand? Thank you, Esther. I have a hard time when people complain about our medical system. These people give their lives for us. Let's make sure we appreciate them. But Dr. Esther up there, she may be with somebody who's dying. It's not just Dr. Esther. It's Spirit-filled, anointed, full of the living God, Dr. Esther. Esther, who knows but when you touch somebody, they aren't feeling something by the Holy Spirit. I didn't mean to pick you out this morning, but can I give you a word? You be bold in your spirit. Because when you touch people, it's not just Esther. You don't know what Holy Spirit is doing. And Esther, I appreciate you. Thank you, my friend. We often forget that we are walking around following the Son of the living God, living under his authority. Listen, Anton and I will probably need to get a couple of groceries this afternoon. When we walk into whatever store we go to, I need to remind myself, as you do, it's not just the Donkers walking into that grocery store. It's the Spirit of the living God. When you walk into the mall this afternoon or tomorrow, hell goes, oh no, they're here. In Nanaimo, we meet in a movie theater, and I believe every Sunday morning that when we're meeting and worshiping God, people's lives are being changed through the week. Not because Life Church was there, but because the Spirit of the living God was in that movie theater. Amen. Come on. I love the story of a lady that I knew. She's well into her 90s, if in fact she's still alive. And she was kind of full of herself, and God gave her a beautiful example. She went into the church to volunteer for some incredible ministry, and the pastor said to her, well, actually, what we need is to have the nursery cleaned. Yeah, but I'm a mighty woman of God. Smart pastor. And so she humbled herself, and she went in, and she scrubbed all the cribs and scrubbed all the toys. And she said, as I was scrubbing the things, I was complaining, and the Lord said, turn it around. Then she said, I began to scrub the crib and pray for every baby that would be in it. The next Sunday, a very ill baby, more than a cold, like ill baby, was put in that crib. Instantly healed. Instantly. That's the power of the Spirit of God that we live in. And when we get an understanding that Almighty God lives in us and he is in fact the Son of the living God, like Peter, our lives will transform. It's time, church. It's time. Peter's third encounter was beautiful. Gotta wipe my eyes. Oh, don't you hate crying with makeup men? Say amen. And before I do that, let me tell you this. Peter had been in the process of transformation. And he was going from a selfish life to what we call a missional life. Professor Darrell Peregrine says, we, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, multiply the love of Christ, the example of Christ, the message of Christ, the freedom of Christ, the promise of Christ, and the power of Christ. Who are you? Well, my name is Susie. No, that may be your human name, but you are one filled with the Spirit of God. My name is Dave. No, that's your human name, but you are one who multiplies the love of Christ, the example of Christ, the message of Christ, the freedom of Christ, the promise of Christ, and the power of Christ. Who did you touch this week? Who did you minister to this week? Well, I'm not talking about going up and laying hands on them and speaking in tongues. I'm just talking about being present with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Who did you touch this week? Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Isn't that exciting? We're going to have a funeral later this morning. When Christ calls a man or a woman, he bids him come and die. Why? Unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, it cannot sprout into what it is created to be. Come and die so the Spirit of God can make you alive. Jesus, kill the old Ann Donkers. I'm sick of her. And make us alive in the Spirit. Well, Peter began to become a transformed man. And a great scripture in Acts is Acts chapter 9 and 10. Acts chapter 10. Do you remember the story of Peter having a vision? He was up on the rooftop praying, and God brought a sheet down in front of him filled with all kinds of unclean animals. And see, the Jew back then wasn't allowed to eat anything that God had declared unclean. And this sheet was full of unclean animals, and the Lord spoke to Peter in this vision. He said, Peter, rise up and eat. And Peter, being a good religious guy, says, oh, no, Lord, I would never do that. And the sheet went up. Peter continues to pray. Oh, that was an attack of the enemy. Thank God that's over. Sheet comes back again. Peter, eat. No, I would never do that. Goes again. Oh, thank God. Sheet comes again. Peter, eat. No. And finally God says, Peter, don't tell me. I am in authority. What I declare clean, you look at as being clean. God was now completing the transformation of Peter's life. You see, because before that, I'm just looking for where the scripture is. I had to redo this whole thing yesterday. And I've lost the scripture. I wanted to give you John chapter 20, where Peter was baptized, where Jesus came and breathed on him and said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the action was complete. He had received the authority. He had received the revelation. And then Jesus breathed on him and the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He had received the agent of change. And so in Acts chapter 10, Peter goes to the house of Cornelius the Gentile. And this is where he received a revelation that would change his life forever. And he says to them in Acts chapter 10, so why did you call me? And they said, Cornelius said, I was praying, and God showed me a man and said, send for you. And long story short, Peter begins to preach to them. And he says to them this, you are well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. Then Peter began to speak in Acts 10:34. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. Peter's third encounter of receiving Holy Spirit is what transformed him once and for all. In Acts chapter 2, you have what we call Pentecost, where the Jews, we're going to talk about it next week, where the Jews see the outward expression of the Holy Spirit. But in Acts chapter 10, you have what is known as the Gentile Pentecost. Thank God. If it weren't for Acts chapter 10, the Jews would still be saying, we're the only people of God and you're dirty dogs. But see, Peter's life was transformed because he had met Jesus. He had had a revelation of who he was. He had received of his Spirit, and his eyes opened up, and he was a transformed man. I now know that God receives everyone. Doesn't matter your color. Doesn't matter your race. Doesn't matter your social standing. Doesn't matter your name. Doesn't matter your mistakes. Doesn't matter your diseases. Doesn't matter anything. I receive every man and woman and child who comes to me. Hallelujah. That's a transformed life. The Jews are wonderful, God's people. But can I tell you something? He didn't pick them because they were so good. In the Old Testament, they were such isolationists. Yes, God has picked us. And God turned around and said at the cross, no, listen, I picked you to show my glory, but now my glory is seen in Jesus, and the whole world is ready to come and avail, as is invited. If we welcome the presence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, then we have to welcome the transforming Spirit of God to do a new work in us. Do I hear an amen? Amen. I want you to stand with me. In fact, I want you to do more than that. Music, come on back up, please. We got a little bit of time this morning. I want you to do a little more than that. I've done this only once before, but I'm going to invite you to do good. Would you just come and stand around the altar? Just come and stand with me here. Come on. Come on down from up above. Let's just stand together around the altar. Come on. Who's the first one? Who's going to do it? Kevin, congratulations. Thank you. Come on. It's not that far a walk. It's not that big a walk. It's not that big a walk. See, because there's something about being close together. We're going to talk to the transforming Spirit of Almighty God this morning. I'm not going to center you out. I'm not even going to lay hands on you this morning. But we're just going to pray together. See, there's something about being together. There's strength in numbers. Isn't that true, Pastor Trevor? There's strength in numbers. And there's strength in being together, where we cry to the Lord as a body together. Transforming Spirit of God, we want you to come. See, we want to live as transformed people. Now listen, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not full of the Spirit. That's not what I'm saying. Please, I think I've been here long enough that you know my heart for you. But I'm saying, and I include myself, Holy Spirit, we need transformation. Right? We need a fresh move of the Spirit of God in our own lives. And let me tell you, I'm preaching it, but Ann Donker is first in line. I need the Spirit of God to do something in my heart. I need the Spirit of God to move. I need the Spirit of God to transform and strengthen and release and enlarge my vision. And we as a church today in this transition need the Spirit of God to transform those of us who are here so that we're ready to welcome those who will come. Listen, God will bring people to you that you're not expecting and that you may not even necessarily like, but the Spirit of God is bigger than Comox Pentecostal Church. Are you ready for what God wants to do? Are you ready for what God wants to do? Let's lift our hands. Let's begin to worship the Lord a little bit. Jesus, we love you this morning. Begin to use your voice this morning. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. If ever we needed you, Jesus, is it now? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Transforming Holy Spirit. Transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this morning that you will descend on us. We're just like Peter. We're just a ragtag bunch. Father, the Queen doesn't know us. Prime Minister Trudeau doesn't know us. President Trump doesn't care whether we exist or not. Then none of them do. But you do. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all of God knows all of us here this morning. You know us, Holy Spirit. So as the music is playing this morning, we simply standing together and those who are in their seats, we simply say, transforming power of the Holy Spirit, will you descend on us now and transcend? Transform us. Begin something deep in our spirits. Begin something deep. Listen, there are some of you here this morning, you've been in revivals like I have, and you've seen human stuff come into the revivals, and you've said never again, and you've shut off part of your heart. This morning, let it go. Let it go. I've seen incredible revivals, and then I've seen mankind get involved and mess it up. And I have to tell you something, I blocked my heart. I thought, I'm not doing this again. But I had to repent and say, Jesus, anytime. Let it go. Some of you are holding on to mistakes from your past. I know the Holy Spirit wants to use me, but I did this. Let it go. The Spirit of God is bigger than those mistakes. Some of you may be here this morning wrestling with this. When a new pastor comes, what if this church changes? Can I make an announcement in all the love in my heart I have for you? This church will change. Praise God. It's okay. Because you see, God is never standing still or going backwards. He's always moving forwards. But look at it this way. You're the ones that he has here to be part of the change. You're the ones that he's entrusted with it. The Spirit of God is going to change Comox Pentecostal. Praise the Lord. It's beautiful now. I love this church. If we lived in Comox, guess where we'd be attending? The Spirit of God is going to change this church. But that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Praise God. We want to be part of that change, Holy Spirit. We want to see Comox explode because of transformed people filled with the Spirit of God. We want to see Comox explode. Let's just sing that chorus, God is so good, as a statement of faith this morning. Let's just sing it, Kristen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. We want to see you move, Holy Spirit, and we're declaring that you're so good. Come on, let's sing it now.
God, you're so good.
Sing it out, church, declare it now.
God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Let's sing it again. We're declaring its goodness.
God.
Now, I'm going to get you to do something. If you're here with a spouse, Anton, would you come and stand with me, sweetheart, please? If you're here with a spouse, just get with your spouse. If you're here with family members, get with family members. And if you're here as a single, get together with some of the married couples. But let's just get into groups of threes or fours, wherever you are. And begin to just pray blessing over each other. Begin to pray God's transformative power. The music folks are going to continue to play. But I want you to pray blessing and an openness of our spirits for the Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out. I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes. Folks, this is what a prayer meeting is. This is what a prayer meeting is. Let's just begin to pray blessing over each other. I'm going to shut down for just a minute so you can hear yourselves pray. God, you're so good one more time here, and I'm gonna let you go.
God, you're so good.
are beginning a new transformation today. Are you becoming transformed again this morning? Amen. Now may the person of God, the presence of God, the very Spirit of God, and the power of God be with you all, now and forevermore, and give you anointing for all that you need in the week ahead. You are a fabulous group. You know why? Because you're God's. Amen. Have a great week, and God bless you. Everybody said? Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.